I'd like to introduce the next set of speakers. We've got William Tenton and Abby Taves. And Adam is an online resident, was a one-time resident of Winnipeg back in the 1970s, is a reference and instruction librarian at York University. Believing that getting a new degree once per decade is fun, he is currently on leave from work and is completing a master's degree in science and technology studies. While not very technically proficient himself, he enjoys working with technology and has managed to learn just enough about it to drive his systems colleague crazy. And William works with Adam at York as a web librarian, and they're going to speak to us about after launching Search and Discovery, who is Mission Control.
Hey, Adam. So what do you think about our decision to go with this new Search and Discovery layer? It's free software, good-sized user community, solar on the back end. Fran in cataloging thinks it's going to be terrific.
Bill, as per usual, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's going to be awesome. It's half Perl, it's half Python, it's half Ruby.
I think you've gone off the rails.
There's a great bunch of people working on it. Now, the one uncool thing is they have all the source code in Subversion, not in Git. It's a distributed version control system. In fact, I've forked it into GitHub, and when we do our work...
Okay, let's just start at the beginning. What is the name of this new thing?
Correct.
What?
Exactly.
What is the name of this new Search and Discovery layer?
You've got it all, man.
Okay, stop messing around. Will you tell me what is the name of this Search and Discovery layer?
Wait, I believe we have a slight misunderstanding. Our name for the system actually is what? But when you say, what is the name of the system, you were asking a question, but I thought you were making a statement.
Well, I'm glad we got that sorted out.
Indeed. We call it what, but really, it's Viewfind.
Viewfind. All right, well, let's call it Viewfind from now on, but this is the first I've heard of this.
Well, I've only sent out about a dozen emails about it.
I didn't see them.
Well, you should stop messing around with your iPhone for 5 minutes and have a look. Viewfind is our new search and discovery system, and we're going to be implementing it over the summer.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. So who from the Information Literacy Committee is going to be on implementation?
IL. Well, how much of an IL issue is this to begin with? All we're going to do is make your life a whole lot easier. It'll have everything in it, the catalog, the e-resources, and all of that. You guys have been griping about having this siloed information for years, but now it's all going to be in one place.
Well, yeah, Bill. I mean, that's all true, but moving to a search and discovery system, it has some real challenges.
Oh, here we go.
First of all, we need to figure out how to display all this information. We need to talk about search logic and making things easier for users, and who knows what sorts of opportunities we may have here. We won't have to spend as much time teaching our users how to search, how to use the system, meaning we can focus on something perhaps a bit more.
I don't know why I bother talking to you. Look, it's not going to affect how you teach. You'll still just be talking about all your usual little things, like how to search by title and use Boolean and get into databases and all that.
Well, of course we will be, but we have other things we'd kind of like to discuss. How to evaluate information, issues around information production. I'm sure if we've got the IL people around, we can hash out some things a bit more clearly. In fact, I have Caroline here on a very bad video phone connection. She may have some thoughts on the matter. Caroline, you work in education. What do you want from a search and discovery system?
Caroline there, she may be an IL, but she's making some good sense. You have all this big, huge, complicated, massive results, and you're getting back, and you want to present it clearly to the user, divided up by format. Helps the user pick and choose. Do they want a book? Do they want a journal? Some audio? And it's all there in the MARC records. And I have to say that Fran in cataloging may not be up in all your fancy IL stuff, but she is indispensable in all of this. I mean, I do some stuff with MARC, but she's all over that like maple syrup on a pancake. couldn't have done it without her, couldn't keep on doing it without her. We worked on Viewfind majorly. We added in all kinds of neat stuff based on what she knows about our records. There was the faceting, the authority control, Kolmogorov analysis of related expressions that we found in Gutenberg, and when she got into the GIS data, it was just frightening.
Yeah, you guys did some nice work there, tweaking the relevancy rankings and digging out the useful bits of data to show the results listings. In fact, because of all that basic stuff being taken care of, it lets it get on to those loftier goals I was talking about before.
It reminds me of a Lubetzky quote.
Lubetzky.
Yeah, Seymour Lubetzky, 1898 to 2003, the greatest cataloger of the 20th century. Caroline there was saying that the user should be able to enter in one simple query and then get back a large amount of information presented to them in a very carefully constructed way based on the metadata we have. One simple search, rich presentation of results. Now, Lubetzky was at a conference in Toronto in 1977, and I just happened to have a recording of it with me. He got asked a question about main and added entries and whether you'd still need these concepts in the future when everything can be an access point because everything is going to be online. Online. This was 1977. I've got a clip of what he said, and he's using George Washington's farewell address as an example. Seymour Lubetzky, the catalog has to tell you more than what he asked for. And now with Viewfind, we can really do that far beyond what he was talking about. You ask it a simple question for a couple of keywords, and it gives you back good relevancy rankings, faceting, book covers, recommendations, links to available full text. It's all there. And this business Caroline's talking about, presenting the results in a particular way, we can do that too. It's all there in the metadata.
The metadata.
The metadata.
Well, you know, as I think about it, I think I'm looking at things in a slightly different way. We need the metadata, sure, but you're saying that's what we have and that's what we'll show. But what I would like is for the metadata to basically disappear so that the larger goals of information literacy can be served. Caroline isn't saying we can divide up the presentation of the results by format because it's in the metadata. She's saying we should divide it up because that's what users need. That's what students need to know. And if we can show them that in the search results, then we don't have to spend half an hour in the classroom telling them how to understand ISBD or whatever strange way our old system used to format results. The catalog tells us more than what we ask for. It tells us what we need to know to delve into the disciplinary discourse.
Did you just say delve into the disciplinary discourse?
You know, what I really like about some of the things you guys have been working on is that it allows the tools to start disappearing. So sure, I have libx in my browser, and that's all fine and dandy. But the great thing about it is how it just underlines any ISBN. It detects and runs a search against her catalog. It, in many ways, is invisible. But it does just what I want it to do. Wouldn't it be great if it could tie me into any full-text holdings in sources like Google or Internet Archive? So Tarot just quietly sits in my browser without any fuss. That's what we want, not fiddling with complicated-to-use tools and having to teach them, but talking about what gets found.
So with Viewfind, you mean that we should just assume that the students have been using the Internet for years, and they know the basics of all of that, and you can get on to the higher-level stuff. You don't need to show them how to do a special title author search because they can just put in a few words and do a general keyword search, and it works, just like every other search engine on the Internet.
Well, yes and no. I still need to be able to do a fairly sophisticated search and be able to show sophisticated search techniques. If I wanted Google, I'd just use Google. But getting back to your average undergrad, they need to understand certain things like who wrote the book and what makes that person qualified to actually speak on that topic. Who published a particular book?
Yeah, yeah. But come on, I mean, really, that's some bullshit, isn't it? These loftier IELTS goals, isn't that just some stuff from a grade 10 media studies course with some little Neil Postman sprinkled on top?
They had media studies when you were back in grade 10. Look, I didn't want to make things too confusing for you, but getting back to that disciplinary discourse, how do people in a particular subject area talk to one another? How is publishing in high-energy physics different than, say, publishing in ancient Greek history? How do psychologists, how do they communicate with one another and to the academic community? And we hear this one all the time, why can't we just digitize all the damn books and be done with it all?
Well, it's because of copyright and intellectual property.
Well, exactly. That's IL Standard 5, Indicator 1, Section D. Wouldn't it be interesting if, when we linked to full text, there was some little clue as to the conditions of access, like no copyright or license access secured? Then the catalog is directly supporting an IL initiative. Or another issue, how do you learn from your mistakes? A particular approach is not working well, but something about... You learn teaches you how to improve and how to look for information about a certain.
Well, you know, no, I do that all the time. It's basic to a systems development or programming when you're doing some debugging.
Yeah, Standard 4, Indicator 2, Section B. That's much more interesting than talking about how to limit your search to books.
Wait a minute, that media studies crack.
August 17, 2010. Here, I finally had a chance to review the changes you made on the UFO. Now that I've seen them, I've completely changed my mind. I think what I'd like to see now is 2010, maybe more April. Now that you've made those other changes I asked for on August 17th, I can see that we're going to have some problems. So I'm thinking that we need to completely August 19th, 2010, lay out a new bill, stop the presses. Look, don't worry about any of that other stuff I've been emailing you about. Something much more important has come up, and we need to make it a high priority right away.
If I don't understand it, I'll let you know. I'll let you in on some top secret IL stuff, so payback. If I can understand some of this stuff, it'll make my life easier. And in turn, I won't be asking you for the impossible all the time. I just need a clear understanding from you of what's going on here. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, actually, I guess it could be done, except that after we had a kind of a middle layer that would transform the query, which is actually something that some other people have been after, and other libraries could use it. So, what's actually going on here is that when you pass the string over to the parser...
All right. I need to get to a Senate meeting, but we can pick up again on this later. Thanks. So, it is a great pleasure to be invited to address the University Senate today to talk about some of the goals of the library's information literacy program, and to talk about some of the ways we're going to push this program forward for the benefit of all students here at the university. To start, I'd just like to briefly address some changes we've made to the library search system, to contextualize some of the pedagogical goals I want to discuss. So if we end up going... Oh, I'm so sorry.
Bring, bring.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, it's you. Is this important?
Oh, that advanced search stuff that we were talking about before, it's all working. Everything we talked about, it's all fixed up. You can add in rows really easily, and your suggestion about the Boolean worked out. It's all tested and in production.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I mean it. But I'm talking to University Senate at the moment. We're about to look at all that stuff.
And I submitted the patches back to the main source tree. Everyone liked them. It all got accepted. They bumped it to version 2. I downloaded it and installed it.
Version 2? We're running version 2 now? Publicly?
Yeah.
You know, I'm about to show some of this new stuff, which now may be old. Is this stuff I haven't seen yet?
Oh, yeah. It's much better. It's completely different. It's faster. There's major improvements there. We don't need to buy any extra servers now. And CD and DVD covers display nicely, too.
Oh, this is incredibly awkward.
And that problem with the availability is fixed. Oh, and I loaded in 19 million articles.
You did what?
I loaded in full article-level metadata for 19 million articles. To be exact, 19,741,137. And now, when you search, you get back a mix of items from our local catalog and from that huge set of articles that's owned by the Ontario University Consortium. It's pretty cool.
You've loaded in 19 million articles?
Yeah, isn't it awesome? It saves so much time. Everyone's all in one place. People don't have to go into article databases to search. Easy one-box interface for users. It's just what we've been after.
19 million articles mixed in with our catalog?
Yeah.
Well, this all sounds very impressive, but from an IL point of view, there's a lot going on here. There are 3 weeks left in the term, and everyone is in an insane rush to write papers. And you've completely changed the behavior of the catalog. And I'm standing here in front of the Senate looking like an idiot. Everything we've taught students and everything they've learned by experience doesn't work anymore. Also, those 19 million articles, or however many you said, cover about 90% of what we have in the social sciences and humanities. But they're not at all right for science, business, medicine. So it's completely misleading for them. They'll search, they'll get bad results, and never know they need to go into subject-specific indexes. Oh my god, I can't believe you did this to me. 6 months of not smoking and now this? Who here has a cigarette? Somebody here on set of must smoke.
Oh god, I'm in my happy place. Turned into a software development shop over the last while, especially now that we're using ViewFund.
Yeah, it used to be we installed a new version of Circe's OPAC every 2 years or so, and we didn't really have any choice about anything. In some ways, I guess it was a lot simpler. It was like Henry Ford doing OPACs. You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
But now it isn't a production line anymore. It's all customized. Lots of different kinds of people working together with different jobs and different backgrounds and interests. And working on software together is hard. But, you know, there might be something that we can do with an agile approach.
What's that?
Well, over the last few years, a lot of good programmers have been thinking about ways that people can work together more closely and more actively so that building something is a much more productive experience, but also much more pleasant without any of these aggravations that we've been having. You might have heard us talking about extreme programming or Scrum.
You know, what I don't really get is the way you always freeze things at the last minute.
Freeze? No, you mean before we go into production?
Yeah, we always find lots of things that need fixing at the last minute, but then you say you can't do them.
Well, yeah, it is annoying, but that's because we need some time to prepare and test everything. So, well, when we're working on new things, we do them on our laptops, and then they make their way up into the development environment, then up to staging, where we do all the final testing with data copied in from the production servers. And basically, at that point, just before launch, we just want to kill bugs. We don't want to introduce anything new, but that's where you do a lot of testing.
Oh, yeah, with that Bugzilla thing, I find bugs and kill them.
Yeah. But then also before we launch, we're figuring out how we can switch the production system over from the old one to the new one without anyone being affected or anything, anyone noticing. No downtime, no data loss, no broken URLs, nothing like that. And that does take some care and attention.
Well, yeah, okay, I guess I can understand that, but it's still pretty annoying. In August, when we're working on getting ready for all of the classes in the fall, we teach in September and October, we're finding all kinds of little things here and there.
Well, the little things we can still fix, but we just don't have time for the big things. And now that we're being careful about prioritizing everything, then you know that we've done all the major work. And besides, you're only the one always telling me not to make any major changes.
Okay, well, that's different. From the middle of August to the middle of October, we're preparing and teaching. We need everything to stay the same. We do posters, we do brochures and handouts, and we want the screens to match what's on the paper. I'm not much of a PowerPoint user myself, but some librarians are, and they need their PowerPoints to match what appears on the computer screen. And for all of us, when we're in a class, we need the system to work like we expect it to. Otherwise, we lose all sense of competence or the appearance of competence because we have certain points we want to hit or examples we want to bring up.
But it's after we put the new system into production that's just way more that way then that we want to get back to working on the new features. That's the fun stuff.
Well, we want the new features too. And in fact, after we've had the time to teach the system and we've been working with it at the desk, we've had a lot of experience with it and we have new ideas about how to improve the IL experience in the catalog.
What, after the 2 months in mid-October?
Well, it's crazy until after Thanksgiving. For 2 months, every reference and instruction librarian is busy, and then again for a month or so in January.
So that's 3 months of the year when we can't work together.
Well, it's vacation.
And going to conferences.
And the library's understaffed.
And we're tenure track at a university, so we have the research and service commitments.
And with budget cuts, I might have to spend half my time next year managing student assistants.
And the next time my department head goes on sabbatical, I might fill in.
So, how does your agile stuff actually help with this?
Well, I don't know. We're not a software development shop. We're kind of a confused jumble of people who really only spend 40% of our time on this at most, and that 40% hardly ever matches up on our calendars.
There's nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come around to that opinion.
We can keep working together as we can. Keep the project going on the mailing list and in the meetings. It's on everyone's minds. It's the most visible thing that we do online. It's just a matter of scheduling. If we make it a priority, it will be.
I can't go on like this.
That's what you think. Hey, Bill, guess what?
What?
I just got back from the conference of the Educational Academy of Pedagogical Teaching and Learning Schools, and it was amazingly good. Some great speakers, some really interesting research results were presented. It was all very inspiring. And there were some vendors showing off some pretty amazing new products. One of them was just astounding. We were all amazed, and we have to get it.
What?
It's a localized instance of Bing Scholar.
What?
It's Bing Scholar, but it's local.
When you put the words together like that, it makes me worried.
What for? You know Google Scholar.
Yeah, of course.
And you know Bing.
Well, I certainly know of it. I think I tried it once the day it launched.
Well, Bing has made their own version of Google Scholar. Microsoft bought Elsevier and Thomson Reuters and The Bay, and they're loading all the articles into the system. They've got deals with other publishers, and they're loading it all in all the open access articles, so it's almost as complete as Google. Try it at scholar.bing.com.
What's this about the localization?
Oh, it gets even better. We can license local access to Bing Scholar. They send us a computer with megabytes of disk space on it. It's awesome. And it's automatically configured to update.
Sure.
and it's automatically configured to update itself every night with fresh downloads from Microsoft. Then there's a Windows program we can give people that will give people special access to the data, and there's a web interface to it too. Hang on, I have the information sheet about it here. Let's see, there's a license agreement we'll have to sign, but we can trust a reliable company like Microsoft, so I don't think we have to worry about repeating it. There's something about their support people having access to our network. We'll have to open up a port on our firewall, but I'm sure you can figure that all out. It says here it's written in C#, so any plugins you do will have to be in that too. Runs on Windows Server, and it's all stored in an Access database, so we'll need that. And we'll need to install a special Windows-only client on everyone's computers. Oh, and we'll all need to switch from iPod to Zoom and from Wii to Xbox. None of that's going to be a problem, though. Oh, and the other four IL librarians and I will have full administrator access, of course. You won't need access at all. We can run it all ourselves. Basically, you know, it's cheaper that way. We need one less user license. So we're really excited about it. Five of us, we formed 6 working groups to look at the possibilities, and we're going to build on some of the lessons we learned when you loaded those 19 million articles into the catalog. We really think we can do some solid IL work with it.
I'm sorry, but no.
What?
No.
This is an important initiative, Bill.
Well, you haven't signed anything yet, have you?
Oh, no, but the rats are coming on Friday.
Well, I'm glad that we're talking about this beforehand now. At least we're getting better about that. But if you'd sign the contract, then I'd still say no.
How can you say no? As I said, this is a really worthy initiative.
So you're saying that you want us to buy, untested, a system that would require us to hire a Windows admin, invest tens of thousands of dollars in new hardware and unreliable software, add an insecure proprietary operating system into our mix, get involved with a language we don't use, and all where Microsoft would have backdoor access to our private network?
Well, what are you, anti-Microsoft?
Well, yeah, I am, but that doesn't matter. Look, we run Linux servers, we use NetApps for storage, we prefer Postgres, we write a lot in PHP and Ruby, we use free software wherever we can. We have absolutely no Windows software in my shop. We have a set of technologies we work with, and it's Unix and it's free software. That's how my department's designed, it's what we hire for. This is how we've constructed the entire way that we function, and I'm afraid that there's just no place for this local Bing thing.
Well, I'm sensing a little bit of negativity here. This isn't just a whole rerun of that advanced search business, is it?
Ooh, yes and no. I mean, I will certainly grant that your frontline experience gives you the serious credibility on the searching, and you're definitely in charge there with the user interface. You design the theory of how the IL part of the catalog should work, and then together we'll put it into practice. But the back-end stuff is up to me. There's a line. But we could probably get this working in another way, in an open way. In fact, I can tell you about this Knowledge for All project. That might work, but for being local, I'm putting my foot down. The foot is spoken, Adam. The foot is spoken.
Okay, so 2 minutes left to wait. You excited about co-teaching the session with me, Bill?
I am. I'm kind of nervous, but I should be okay. I've never actually gotten up in front of a class before. In fact, I've never even really done any public speaking before.
Oh, you'll be fine. You get used to it. I do about 6 sessions a week for 6-7 weeks a term, so you get over nerves pretty quickly. I'll start things off, and then you can talk about the authority records and how that's improved things. Then do the advanced search, then hand things back to me for that whole thing about the Caroline view and disciplinary discourse.
Okay, don't worry. I've been rehearsing all week, and I'm all set. You know, I have to say, I was pretty impressed with what you IL people did on the new release of UFind over the last few months.
Well, when you sent us the roadmap for the next official release, it really got us to thinking. There was nothing information literacy related on it at all. It was also technical.
Well, it's library geeks around the world hacking code often in their spare time, and that's what you get. But you guys, you got really involved. You got IL people from all over around in on it, too, and it had a huge effect on how things turned out.
Yeah, it made the whole process a lot more enjoyable. So, are you ready to teach?
Yep. History and Philosophy of Science 5500, Kuhn's Paradigms, and Foucault's Epistemes. It sounds pretty interesting. So it's like, 6 or 8 students?
What? No. This is Section 14 of Psych 2030, Introduction to Research Methods. Didn't you get my email?
Your what?
My email. There's 500 students in there.
Oh, God.
Be sure your lapel mic is attached properly.
Oh, jeez.
Don't worry. If you're lucky, 300 of them will be ignoring you, and if you're not, 400 will be. Well, shall we go?
Yes. Let's go.